Well, good morning, El Paso, Las Cruces, West Texas. It's a blessing to be with you this morning. It's been another remarkable week. It seems like it's a week of prisoners, captives being set free around the world. Perhaps you saw in the news headlines Mark Fogel, an American who had been detained in Russia since August of 2021. He landed back in the United States on Tuesday, and what joy on his face, a captive being set free, really held in on an unjust sentence in Russia since August of 21. He's a history teacher, United States history teacher, and President Trump and his administration negotiated his release. And to see the joy on his face, a captive who's been set free, and on his family's faces, and how excited they were. It's always amazing to see that when captives get released, especially those who were held unjustly for an unjust sentence, or even those held justly who receive a pardon. The joy, the relief, the burden that is lifted. You may have heard of the three Israeli hostages released by Hamas this week as well. Ohad Ben Ami, who's 56 years old, and Eli Sharabi, and Or Levi, I think is how you say his name. He's 34 years old. These three were released by Hamas after being held since October 7th of 23. And they looked terrible on their release. You could tell they had been tortured and starved. They looked, 20 years older than when they were taken captive, but certainly relieved, maybe even more relieved than the American captive in Russia, because they had been held underground and treated so badly for so long. It's amazing to be released from captivity. I was thinking in my life that about the closest thing I can think of to that feeling is one time I was lost in the forest, and really the forest became my prison, wandering around the forest at night for I don't remember how long, but as a teenager, lost in the forest, and then to finally find my way out after I prayed and asked the Lord to help, I found my way out. And many times we're taken captive by something in our lives. In fact, it's rare to talk to someone who doesn't feel like they're held captive by something. Maybe it's a circumstance, maybe it's a medical condition, maybe it's a mind frame, a mental condition, depression, oppression, these things, a relationship you're held captive by. Ultimately, the Bible says we're all held captive and we're prisoners of sin. In fact, we all face the penalty of death, and it gets 100% of people. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And in the garden, God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because of the day you eat of it, you will die. And we know that death came upon them that day that they ate it, and they became separated from God, spiritually dead, in need of revival and restoration. And we as their line, as the genetic line coming from Adam, we have to be set free from the captivity of sin that holds us. And so that leads me to the passage I wanted to share with you today from Luke chapter 4, verse 16. It speaks of Jesus coming to Nazareth. And Nazareth, we're reminded that it fulfilled a prophecy that Jesus would be called a Nazarene. That's his hometown. So Jesus is in his hometown where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." So the gospel, as we're reminded, is the good news. Imagine being poor and all of a sudden finding out that you have an inheritance, a rich inheritance. In fact, you find out that Elon Musk has willed everything to you. Can you imagine the richest man in the world? you're one of the poorest people, and all of a sudden you find out you have an inheritance. You might feel like that's good news, or a captive who gets a pardon or who is released. You would feel that that is very good news. This is beyond anything we could experience in this world. And the Lord really wants us to see that. So I'm going to read this again, because this is Jesus reading this section. Listen to this carefully. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Do you see? Oppression in and of itself can be captivity, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Many of you, or some of you who are listening, and many of the people around us here in El Paso are oppressed. I was speaking to a woman yesterday who is incredibly oppressed, and she's not from El Paso, but she's been here for a few years, just oppressed by the atmosphere and the things that have been happening to her since she's been here. She feels like a prisoner. She feels like a captive. And there's an oppression upon her. And many of us, I've felt it, I know what she's feeling. Many, many people around us in our community feel slaves, like a prison to oppression. This heavy weight, whatever the circumstance is, it feels like despair. In Pilgrim's Progress, there is the story of the giant of despair. And he has this castle, and the castle is this castle of doom and despair, and it holds people prisoner, and it holds them captive, and they're captives to despair. And the entire time they were held in the captivity, they had the key of promise around their neck that would open the doors of this castle of doom, and yet they forgot about it. They forgot about that key of promise. And that's what Jesus is telling people. He has the key of promise. He is the one that can set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now you see, the greatest problem we have is not a person in a Russian prison or being in captive by Hamas. That would be a big problem if we had it, but that's not the greatest problem that those prisoners have. Their greatest problem is the problem of sin and the captivity, the oppression of being under the control of sin, the punishment of sin, the condemnation of sin, with the wrath of God abides on them without a Savior. But Jesus is the one who has been given the authority to set the captives free. He has the key of promise. And here he is proclaiming that. We see that here, to proclaim liberty to the captives. He came to do that, and he's commissioned us to do that. And I would ask you today, are you feeling oppressed? Do you feel like a slave? Do you feel like a captive to your circumstances? You feel like you'll never get out of it, or you'll never get out of the mind frame. You'll never get out of the depression that's holding on to you. Maybe you're a captive to grief because you lost a loved one and you just can't get past it. There's a lot of people in that category, especially in the last 4 years. We've seen unprecedented mortality rates here in El Paso. I don't know that we've ever seen rates this high, at least not in recent times. I've actually studied that a little bit. And El Paso has seen over 30% higher mortality rates than before the pandemic. A lot of us know people who have passed away. Recently, I just had somebody, an acquaintance this last week, who I knew at work, who passed away suddenly. And it's very sad, and it's very hard, and the people are suffering and oppressed just by the loss of a loved one. then that can hold on to us for so long. But Jesus says that he's reading these scriptures that show that he is the one that has the key to liberty from the captivity of oppression. You can receive liberty, freedom from oppression. It feels like a prison, but you can be set free. And Jesus is the only way that can truly do it. And it's not just liberty from the oppression of depression or loss. It's liberty from the weight of sin. It's liberty to actually live an abundant life. So how do we access that freedom? John 8:31, if you want to turn in your Bibles there, John 8:31, it says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.'" You see, Jesus pointed out the greatest captivity and the greatest problem of slavery in the world is not, it's not even the sex trade or anything else. It's sex slavery, which is going on all around us, even here in El Paso. Human trafficking is huge, and we saw what happened with Jeffrey Epstein running a terrible human trafficking organization and many high-level people involved in that. But Jesus is pointing out that that's only a byproduct of sin that we're all a slave to. We are all a slave to sin. We've all been born into sin, and in essence we're being trafficked by Satan himself, who wants to use us as instruments of sin. So we're, he who sins is a slave of sin. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus said there's none good but one, that is God. God is the only one who's good. Jesus is the only one who would call himself the good shepherd. We have all fallen short. And so we must be transformed into a son. We can't be a slave. The slave will be cast out. The slave doesn't abide forever, but a son abides forever. A son gets the inheritance. Remember the idea of a poor person who suddenly finds out that they're an inheritor of Elon Musk's inheritance. Can you imagine? I guess he's worth $430 billion right now, the richest man to ever live in modern time. That would be remarkable, wouldn't it? To find out, oh, wow, he's my long-lost father, and he's going to give me all his inheritance. Well, the Lord is far greater in riches, and he offers eternal life. And if you become his son, if you come into his family, you will gain his inheritance, which is eternal life. You'll be a co-heir with Christ. And that's what Jesus is offering those who would abide in my word. He said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." He's going to give them this capacity to abide in his word. He would say, "Anyone who desires to come after me must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And he says, and if you follow me, if you are my child, if you are a child of God, then he's given you this inheritance. He offers this inheritance, which includes a pardon for sin and a release from the captivity of sin and an inheritance as a son. That is amazing. If we put our trust in him, and you may say, well, what do I have to do? Well, you know, you're not going to be able to earn it. You're not going to be able to do enough work to build your own ladder to heaven. And I think that's a great deception here in El Paso. Many people, if you ask them, hey, are you going to go to heaven when you die? They may say, well, I hope so. And how are you going to get there? Well, I'm trying to be a good person. You know, and people picture themselves, maybe if I can just link by link build my own ladder to heaven. The question for people like that is, how many of your sins did Jesus die for? Did he die for half of your sins or all of your sins? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we could not save ourselves. We're all a slave. We're sold into slavery. We were born into slavery from the corrupt seed of Adam. But that's why Jesus said, you must be born again or you can't inherit the kingdom of God. You must be a child of God. You must be born into the family of God, born by the Spirit of God, so that anyone who believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. If you put your trust in him, now you can enter in as a son, and he will help you to overcome the problems in your life and the sin that has ensnared you. He will break those chains. You aren't going to be able to break them yourself. And a great deception is people think, well, I'll go try to break the chains of sin so I can become worthy enough to come and be a disciple of Jesus. You're not going to be able to do that. That's why he says today is the day of salvation. Come to him and he will break those chains. And maybe you're listening today and you're oppressed and you need a way out. Jesus would say, come unto me, all of you who are tired with heavy burdens, and you will find rest for your souls. You are tired with heavy burdens. He says, come unto me. Come unto me. He didn't say, go try to work hard and get rid of your own burdens. No, he says, come unto me and you will find rest for your souls. Why? Because remember what he said, I have come to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus would restore sight to many who are blind, but he wants to offer restoration and sight to those who would believe in him. And he's speaking spiritually. We're speaking spiritually now that I once was blind, but now I see. Those words of amazing grace written by John Newton, he himself was a slave trader, and he would take people captive. People who were kidnapped in Africa, and he would put them on his ship. And over 20,000 slaves died on John Newton's ships as he was a slave trader. But he had heard the gospel. He had heard the message of the good news, and when he received it, he would later write, after he lost his physical eyesight, he would write, I once was blind, but now I see. And he helped mentor William Wilberforce to fight a political battle and win to outlaw slavery in Great Britain, being the first nation, I think, in the history of the world to actually pass laws against the human slave trade. As every nation in the world has practiced slavery in one way or another. And then we're reminded of the bloodshed in the United States to be the first nation in the history of the world to actually fight a war to end slavery. And 500,000 of our own brothers were killed fighting that war in our nation to end slavery. How serious we take our freedom for our fellow humankind, and how serious we should, but a much greater slavery, John Newton found, that he was a slave to sin as he oppressed people in actual physical slavery, and as he sold them into slavery, he himself found that he was a slave to sin. And when he came to Jesus, Jesus opened his eyes and set him free and made him a child of God. And then he was empowered to actually overcome the sin that had so ensnared him and made him a slave. Once he came to Jesus, Jesus took that burden of sin and guilt away. The bloodshed of 20,000 slaves that had died on his ships, let alone the untold countless tens of thousands of others who were sold into slavery, Jesus took all that sin away and empowered him to actually live a productive, amazing Christian life. And we still sing his song today, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Can you really sing that song and mean it and know that it's true for you? When you sing that song, maybe at a funeral, do you sing it just to try to find comfort for the loss of a loved one, or does it really apply to you? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We are all slaves to sin in this world without Christ. All of us. There isn't one exception. And when Jesus went to the cross, he went to the cross to carry that burden that we couldn't carry. The oppression, the crushing weight of sin was upon him. And he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment of our peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. That's from Isaiah 53. And it prophesied that Jesus would carry that weight that we can't carry. He would carry the load that we could never bear ourselves. So I would encourage you, perhaps you've been thinking, man, maybe someday I can clean myself up enough that I'll be worthy enough to actually come to Jesus. I just encourage you today, you're never going to find him in that way. You will find him when you just come to him. Bring your burden to him, and you will find rest for your soul. You will just call upon him. He already carried it. He already paid the price. He already wrote a pardon with his own blood, with your name on it. Bring your weight to him. And if you're a Christian today and you're oppressed and depressed, you have no reason to be, because you, as the same in the same way, can bring your weight to him as a loving father. Maybe you've accepted him, but you've walked away for a while. He would have you back. You see his heart toward you in the story of the prodigal son. When that person wandered for a while, and when he came back, the father ran to him with open arms. I would encourage you to, if you're driving down the highway today and you hear this message, know the Lord is speaking to you. Even as you drive, you can give your life back to Christ. If you're listening from home, you can give your life back to Christ. You can recommit it to him today, and he will take that weight and that burden from you. And it's really on my heart to speak to those who are oppressed, because that oppression, it's thick here. And I've met with people this week who I mentioned who are oppressed, and that can be such a prisoner of a person, oppression. But Jesus said to set at liberty those who are oppressed. The good news is he will set you at liberty from oppression. He cares about you. And the scripture says to cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Jesus loves you. And if Jesus can save a man like John Newton, who killed slaves and who sold slaves, or a man like the Apostle Paul, who killed Christians and threw Christians into prison and made slaves of Christians, God used both of them as incredibly powerful men in the world of Christianity. Some of the greatest Christians to ever live, the Apostle Paul and John Newton, came from some of the most evil backgrounds. He can certainly use you. And I was speaking with a guy at the park last week. A young man came up to me, and the first thing he asked me was, how can a person who's lived a life of sin be saved? And I thought, wow, what a great question. And it was a very sincere question. He very, very sincerely listened to me proclaim the good news to him. And whether he would actually receive that or not, I don't know. He walked away, though, but he had the good news when he walked away. I gave him that key of promise. But to apply the key, you have to receive him. To as many who received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. And children receive an inheritance. Children are no longer slaves. They're actually inheritors of the blessings of their father. And you can be an inheritor of that blessing if you put your trust in Jesus. You have to receive him into your life. And to receive him means to admit that you're a sinner and believe that he died for you, he carried your load, and that he rose from the dead. He's alive, and he offers the freedom from captivity for anyone who would put their trust in him. I want to conclude this message with a praise and thanksgiving from Zacharias and Luke chapter 1. This is what it sounds like when salvation comes to a person who realizes the blessing and freedom that is in Christ. the father of John the Baptist, Zacharias. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, this is Luke 1:68, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Would you have Jesus guide your feet into the way of peace? That's what he wants for you. What an amazing way to live. To live with the peace of God that passes all understanding. If you come to Jesus and you lay your burden down, that's what is there for you. The peace of God that passes all understanding. May God grant you his peace this week. I pray that you will put your trust in him. If you're a believer, recommit your life to him. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.